Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It's Monday, April 21st, 2014. Now, tonight's top story may not sound like it's a very weighty story, especially when we compare it to other topics we've got tonight, like Chinese citizens beating the government bureaucrats, North Carolina fish houses shutting down. But it really is related in many different ways. You know, this story in the Nevada ranch between Harry Reid and the BLM and all that it encompasses touches on so many different elements. And there's so many elements of corruption and crime. They're just like an onion, layers of an onion that come apart. But look at this story to start with from the Supreme Court today. We've got Coca-Cola going before it, arguing about their pomegranate juice, their Minute Maid pomegranate blueberry juice, which actually contains only 0.3% pomegranate juice and 0.2% blueberry juice. Now, they were challenged by a legitimate maker of pomegranate juice that is 100% pomegranate juice, and they're challenging them under a 1946 law that prohibits false advertising. As they went before the Supreme Court, their lawyer said that the juice from Coke only contains an eyedropper of pomegranate juice, amounts to a teaspoon in each half gallon. Now, Coke came back and said, well, really, it's the FDA that has authority in this area. Think about this in a couple of different ways, especially as we see this applying in so many different areas. But let's apply it to the Nevada ranch situation. First of all, we see a lot of attacks against the Bundy family, against the supporters there, trying to demonize them as domestic terrorists. And they always go back to the grazing fees. Now, the grazing fees certainly are there. But without any context, without talking about everything else that's there, it's really kind of like looking at something that is 0.3% pomegranate juice. That's not really the story. That's a very small part of the story. You know, when you go to court, you're sworn in, you say that you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And there's a lot of things that are left out, a lot of lies and disinformation that are inserted in, just like this juice from Coca-Cola. But I think it's also interesting to look at the fact that Coca-Cola appeals to the fact that essentially the court doesn't have jurisdiction here. This is something that should be done by the FDA. Again, this is something else that we saw in the Bundy case. When the federal courts, when the federal bureaucracies are losing, even in the Bundy case, it was a federal court that they were in. The bureaucracies, like the EPA, the BLM, just stand up and say, you have no jurisdiction here. Why? Because they are agencies, bureaucracies that are operating like little fiefdoms. They write their own laws, they create their own taxes, they have their own courts, and of course they have their own militarized army to enforce their rules and regulations. Let's look at how this is working out for the Chinese. In a story by Paul Joseph Watson today, he said, Chinese citizens beat government bureaucrats during a mass riot. Irate Chinese citizens savagely beat five government bureaucrats during an incident that escalated into a 1,000-strong riot on Saturday. The disturbance began after members of the Chengguang Municipal Police, China's widely loathed bureaucrats who enforce government regulations against street vendors, and they harassed and beat a woman there. Another very similar situation we see happening everywhere. And, of course, street vendors there just substitute for that. Substitute small businesses here, small businesses who don't pay off the protection money to the corrupt government officials, who don't pay off the proper politicians. They get shut down by the larger businesses who do engage in that kind of corruption. But look at this. This is five cops were killed in this particular incident, and this is what they said. They said the mass disturbance was the latest in a long line of violent incidents between members of the public and the Urban Management Force, or the Chengguang, whose main duties are dealing with illegal street vendors. The bureaucrats' image has been marred by repeated media reports of their excessive use of force while carrying out their duties, sometimes resulting in injuries and even deaths. Don't we see that over and over again in America? We report on that almost on a daily basis here at InfoWars. We continually see governments using code violations to go in and drag people out of their homes in the middle of the night, beat a husband, throw the kids on the ground, arrest them in the middle of the night because there's a mother who no longer is even a part of the household who owed money to the Department of Education, and the Department of Education sends out their SWAT team to enforce that law. Or we see them attacking somebody who is selling raw milk or fill in the blanks. over and over again, we see this. It's code violations that are driving this, code violations that are written by agencies that were never elected by us, that are unanswerable to us, that have essentially become fiefdoms. Look at how this is playing out now in North Carolina. We've got North Carolina fish houses, it says, are navigating a variety of issues. This is a story from journalnow.com about what's happening in North Carolina. These fishermen are being essentially shut down in the same way that Clive and Bundy was being shut down when they revoked his grazing rights, reducing the number of cattle that he could put on the land. Well, they're doing that here with the number of fish. They said they have a decrease in product due to state and federal regulations that affect many of the fish that are sold, like sea bass, grouper, flounder, and red drum. Just like they had a 90% reduction in cattle for Bundy, can you keep your business going if you have a 90% cutback due to new regulations? He says we couldn't get enough seafood to keep up and going. And they point out that these regulations, the quotas, vary by species and can be complex, with harvest quotas, size limits, and times of the year that you can fish all being part of the equation. Again, same situation they saw in Nevada, where they took it down to only 10% of what they had had before that they could graze on the land, and then said you cannot graze on the land in certain times of the year. The key part, times of the year. Now, this is what's going on in North Carolina with the fishermen. Same thing. Regulations are only one part of doing business, he said. High fuel prices can make it unprofitable for fishermen to run their boats for smaller harvests, and seafood imports are competing with seafood that is caught in the United States. That's right. It's okay for the foreigners to overfish the neighboring areas, but you can't have Americans doing that. Now, we all know that this is also, Agenda 21 is also a part of this. And we see that the Southern Poverty Law Center, the people we can always count on to launch hysterical attacks, they're now launching hysterical attacks of critics of UN Agenda 21. In mid-April, the largely discredited group released a special report entitled Agenda 21, the UN Sustainability and Right-Wing Conspiracy Theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. It is a conspiracy. It is not a theory. Now, let's take the right-wing part of the right-wing conspiracy theory first. They point out that in Alabama, where SPLC is based, that they had a unanimous measure passed in the legislature, including all the Democrats, voting in favor of 2012 to protect private property by banning UN Agenda 21. Now, they also say in the document that UN Agenda 21 is non-binding. But here's a quote from their own website, from UN Agenda 21's website. It says that it is a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by organizations of the United Nations system, governments, and major groups in every area where humans impact on the environment. But here's what they say is not sustainable. High meat intake, the use of fossil fuels, electrical appliances, home and workplace air conditioning, and suburban houses. See, they don't want to just get the ranchers off of the land in the rural areas. They want you out of the suburban areas as well. And, of course, they want to shut down cattle production, beef production. They want to shut down fish production. They want you eating something, I guess, like Soylent Green. But people aren't having any of it. There's a range war that's brewing. This is a very positive sign. Western lawmakers have gathered this last weekend in Utah to talk about the federal land takeover. More than 50 political leaders from 9 states convened for the first time to talk about their joint goal, wrestling control of oil, timber, and mineral-rich lands away from the feds. Now, these are some pretty heavy hitters. You've got the Utah House Speaker, you've got the Idaho Speaker of the House, and you've got U.S. Senator Mike Lee. And the Speaker of the House from Idaho said that Idaho forests and rangeland managed by the state have suffered less damage and watershed degradation from wildfire than have lands managed by federal agencies. They said they're not interested in taking control of every acre of land. The lands that are off the table that rightly have been designated by the federal government, things like national parks and wilderness that have been created by an act of Congress. This is a discussion that is long time coming. These are lands that were territorial lands that should have been given to the states when they became states. But the federal government has maintained that they have ownership of it. And if you think that this is so they're doing it for the benefit of the public, you need to take a closer look at what's going on. They're going to shut this down to the public just as they're shutting it down to the ranchers. Now, in Japan, we also see the government there is pushing a false narrative. The former mayor of the area around Fukushima is saying that Fukushima radiation is killing our children and the government is hiding the truth. Now, what he pointed out was that compared with Chernobyl, radiation levels around Fukushima are 4 times higher. And although the government is trying to get people to come back to the area, he says it's much too early for people to come back. It's by no means safe, no matter what the government says. He says that they've launched a come home campaign. It kind of sounds like, I guess, duck and cover from the early days of the nuclear tests. They were telling kids. In many cases, they are forcing evacuees to return. And he says, although air contamination has decreased a little, soil contamination remains the same. And he was showing a map. This affects about 2 million people. He says they've got all sorts of medical issues. And listen to this last statement he has and think about it in terms of fluoride, vaccines, SSRI, and of course, radiation is going to be a part of the equation here as well. He says, the people believe what the government says. While in reality, radiation is still there. This is killing children. They die of heart conditions, asthma, leukemia, thyroiditis. Lots of kids are extremely exhausted after school. Others are simply unable to attend PE classes. But the authorities still hide the truth from us. I don't know why. Don't they have children of their own? It hurts so much to know that they can't protect our children, that they won't protect our children. And again, that is the same thing we see happening from the government, whether it's vaccines or fluoride or radiation or drugs that they require kids to take in school like Ritalin. Over and over again, they deny the negative effects. They deny the effects that it's having on children. Government is always telling us that they're doing things to protect the children, and yet they seem to have no concern whatsoever, whether it's the Japanese government or the American government, and yet people blindly believe what they tell them. Now, let's take a look at this story that's happening in Syria. Al-Qaeda in Syria gets anti-aircraft missiles. And Kurt Nemo reports that Time magazine reported Monday that officials at the White House are seriously considering sending MANPADs, man portable air defense systems, to terrorist mercenary groups operating in Syria. Now, earlier this month, we reported that the U.S. delivered its sophisticated BGM-71 TOW anti-tank weapon to moderate mercenary forces in Syria, so-called moderate forces. This harkens back to the supplying of Afghan freedom fighters, who later became Al-Qaeda, in the 1980s. And of course, as Kurt Nemo points out, those Stinger missiles would eventually be used against U.S. troops. And remember that it was in Benghazi that it was a transfer of surface-to-air missiles, as well as other heavy equipment, RPGs, that was the center of what was going on there in Benghazi, as we've learned from many of our sources. And, of course, that was why Stevens was killed there. So we see the same things happening over and over again. As our government lies to us about health, as it lies to us about the legal basis for what it's doing out west, it's also lying to us about the terrorist threat, supplying the very terrorists that it says are threatening our freedom and our liberty here. Now stay tuned. Right after the break, we have a special report from Jakari Jackson, a 1-year look back at what happened in Boston with the Boston Marathon bombing and the lies that were told to us by the government then. Stay tuned.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquamedics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
But again, the explosion, the main one there at the Marathon Sports, and then you can hear after that, Paula, it's just absolutely heartbreaking to see this.
It's been a year since the bomb attack at the Boston Marathon. InfoWars was pointing out the inconsistencies in the story from the very beginning.
Was there any prior knowledge, Joe? Because according to BostonGlobe.com, they said they were doing drills this morning for the same exact thing that happened, according to BostonGlobe.com. Now, was you guys given any warning ahead of time of this taking place?
As I said earlier, there was no specific intelligence.
Oh, sir, why were loudspeakers telling people in the audience to be calm moments before the bomb went off? Is this another false flag stage attack to take our civil liberties and put more Homeland Security while sticking their hands down on the pants on the streets?
No.
And it wasn't just the Boston Globe who reported the drills.
There was dogs with their handlers going around sniffing for explosives, and we were told on a loud announcement that we shouldn't be concerned. This was just a drill. So maybe it was just a drill. But I've just never seen a drill like that.
The most show of force that a track coach has seen in a lifetime of marathons. This brings up questions of prior knowledge. And on the subject of prior knowledge, we found out that the CIA, FBI, and DHS knew of Tamerlan Tsarnaev before the bombing. Reports show that the older Tsarnaev had previously attended a workshop sponsored by the CIA. The word is also out that the FBI and Department of Homeland Security had been tipped to Tamerlan's visit to a radical mosque in Dagestan, a neighbor of Chechnya. The FBI felt that this was of little consequence and didn't consider him a threat. Also, the suspect's uncle Ruslan, who quickly distanced himself from his nephews, worked for USAID. As the article points out, the U.S. Agency for International Development is an agency used by the U.S. government to operate humanitarian NGOs instrumental in running color revolutions in former Soviet states. And he just so happened to be the relative of choice for state-run media. I understand that there must be several criminals and other people on U.S. databanks, especially with the DHS putting toddlers on the no-fly list. But if you have a suspect who the Russian government warned you about, attended CIA-backed workshops that the DHS was briefed on, and the FBI interviewed, why does the FBI need public assistance identifying the suspect? Not to mention how the feds reportedly called the Tsarnaev brothers after the bombing and before any other incidents.
Somebody out there knows these individuals as friends, neighbors, co-workers, or family members of the suspects. Though it may be difficult, the nation is counting on those with information to come forward and provide it to us.
Did you ask any of your co-workers their agent? Aside from Stonewall and InfoWars reporter Dan Bedondi, Goon's got in his face for dare asking real questions.
Are both suspects seen planting these devices at the finish line of the Boston Marathon?
No. The only one who was observed planting what we believe to be the device is suspect number two with a white cap.
Let's talk about those photos.
It was bomb drills Monday morning. We got photographs on InfoWars.com, folks, of contracts.
Next question, please.
Jahar's white or gray backpack with the black stripes is clearly not the black backpack with the white or gray stripes that exploded. In fact, the bags are the exact opposite.
The only official photos that should be officially relied upon in this investigation are those you see before you today.
So what's the possible explanation for these bizarro backpacks?
And
and you're carrying
you
a backpack.
You would have one here. This is a light color nylon backpack.
Like number two had.
Yeah.
And then it's easy enough for you to go ahead and take out the actual device that may house the weapon.
There's one theory. Doubt of the official story could easily have been squashed by releasing footage of the bomb being placed. Footage that even Governor Deval Patrick hasn't seen.
Well, the videotape is not something I've seen. It's been described to me. But it does seem to be pretty clear that this suspect took the backpack off, put it down.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here. An electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the survival silver solution. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today. And find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com. Many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that before man even discovered the power to harness and use fire, we were involved in agrarian activities. That is, taking the seeds of plants and then replanting them to produce more. The very foundation of our modern civilization and human culture is centered around the planting and cultivation of edible plants.
Here are some of the amazing deals at InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com. The Survival Seed Vault by My Patriot Supply features only the finest survival heirloom seeds for a robust and hardy garden, even in the toughest times. We also have starter varieties of the deluxe seed packages for fruit, salad, salsa, peppers, medical herbs, and more. Go to the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
And remember, the revolution against tyranny is growing.
Welcome back. Now, earlier in the program, we talked about how there was a conference this last weekend. 50-plus legislators from over 9 Western states meeting to talk about the overreach, the arrogance, and the dangerous confrontational attitude of the federal government. Now, we also had some local officials that turned up in Nevada at the Bundy Ranch situation. They were very concerned seeing the same problems happening there are going to be happening in their area. As one of them, Darren Bushman of Paiute County, Utah, said, "It's the same thing that we saw in 1993 here in Nevada at the Bundy Ranch is now happening in his county. That's where they believe they are. So they want to see what they can do to try to head this off." Here's what he had to say.
This is not just the Bundys' problem. This is a problem of Western America. This affects every rancher. In fact, this is a problem for all of America. We're talking about rights here. We're talking about a situation here where they're killing gnats with a sledgehammer. And it's absolutely disgusting what's being done with the taxpayers' money. And, you know, in my county, we are a heavy ranching county as well. And my entire county is supporting this effort. And the reason is we're the next Clive and Bundy.
Yes.
Okay? We have the sage grouse. We have the goshawk. We have all of these issues. And we have, you know, daily discussions about new ESAs that are coming along. We have daily discussions about EISs and how we have to protect this and protect that and cut ranchers out of here and cut ranchers out of there. And the interesting thing is America's in love with the cowboy, but we want to put them all out of business.
Yeah.
It's absolutely disgusting. They bought and paid for these rights as we do water rights, mineral rights, property rights. Okay? All of these rights were bought and paid for. They traded gold pieces, they traded horses, they traded labor, whatever it was, they managed to buy and pay for these grazing rights. Then along comes the Taylor Grazing Act, the establishment of the Department of the Interior, the BLM, all that. They're no longer rights, they're permits that you have to rent the feed from the federal government. That was all done without compensation to the American rancher, okay?
Now, that's very interesting. You said they changed the rights to permits, essentially, which is what they do with our individual rights. They change them from fundamental rights to government-granted privileges.
Permission. Yeah, we're going to give you permission, which is revocable. Well, these are not revocable. These are rights, just like property rights. And, you know, if you'll put the word property or water in exchange for grazing when we're having this conversation, the whole world turns upside down, right? Because it's a whole different discussion when we're talking about the Bureau of Land Management coming in and stealing your water, you know, or stealing your property. Well, you know, it's really interesting because if you look at these lands in the West, if you look at the state enabling acts for all of these states in the West, this land was never intended to be held by the federal government. It was intended to be disposed of to the general public, and any remaining lands was to be disposed of to the state. It was never intended that we would hold these lands by the federal government. The interesting thing about it is the people who are making the decisions about these federal lands, they don't ever show up on the ballots in these states. So you've got decision makers that are not in the state of Nevada, not in the state of Arizona, not in the state of Utah. They're in Washington, D.C. They're senators and bureaucrats from all over the nation who are making decisions about what's happening right here in the state of Utah, what's happening in the state of Nevada, what's happening in the state of Arizona, and they never show up on the ballot in these states. You got Dick Durbin trying to take away 30% of the state of Utah, and he doesn't even show up on the ballot. We don't even have an opportunity to voice our opinion about whether he should be representing us.
It's not just taxation without representation, it's regulation without representation, isn't it?
It's absolutely regulation without representation. And, you know, the people that are managing these lands should show up on the ballots every 2, 4, or 6 years so we can voice our opinion about how they're doing it. Let's lock us all up and put us in boxes where we can manage the people, control the people, tell them what they can think, tell them what they can do, tell them where they can be, tell them how they can act. And unfortunately, that's where we're at. And, you know, I have people ask me, how can you as an elected official support someone who's clearly breaking the law? I guess I would ask the same question of, how did people manage to support Martin Luther King as he was sitting in Birmingham, Alabama, in a jail cell? That question was asked of him. And he said, look, there are two kinds of laws. There are just laws and unjust laws. And we have an obligation as human beings in the United States of America to obey just laws. We have the same obligation to disobey unjust laws.
Now, Darren Bushman wasn't the only local government official there. We also had Dave Miller from Iron County, Utah. Now, he's the guy who pointed out that the Bureau of Land Management was violating its own rules on the use of the land as far as wild horses were concerned in his area. They were allowing 7 times the number of wild horses on the land that they had said were sustainable, and they were doing nothing about it. Massive hypocrisy, massive overreach, confrontational, dangerous use of force. As he pointed out, it's about much more than some of the legal details. It's about broad issues of liberty and what kind of country we're going to live in. We have a real opportunity for change here. What happened there was a peaceful confrontation of violent, over-the-top government actions. But now we're at a phase where we need to push on the info war. This is a period of time where they're trying to vilify and demonize Cliven Bundy, the supporters, the militia movement, the conservatives, you name it. This is a time we really need to push back. It's a very dangerous time for everyone involved. We hope you'll stay tuned. We hope you'll support Prison Planet TV. If you buy a subscription, that helps to support our operation as well as passing that information on to your friends, to your family. You can share it with up to 10 people simultaneously at the same time. Well, stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Tune in to PrisonPlanet.tv for an extended broadcast.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. The key is to be aware of this attack and to fight back against it. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula, sourced from powerful organic herbs harvested around the planet and then concentrated for maximum potency. I've always believed in nutrition and herbs. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality and other powerful products from InfoWars Life.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.
We're live. It's 2:08 Central, and two explosions at Boston Marathon. People hurt in large explosions. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. And that'll... are they going to blame it on Iran? Blame it on a Patriot group? Or is it going to be a veteran or something? I mean, this is just so horrible. Again, I hope nobody's really been hurt bad, and also hope it's a gas main or something like that. Because they will... Again, they're going to turn all public events. First, it's have checkpoints at the airport, then it's the mall, then it's the sports stadium, then it's the hotel, then it's the highway, then it's the bus station. This is already in Austin. Then it's Army at the Kite Festival. Then it's, any event has to have, you know, troops at it. Drudge now running the headline, explosions at Boston Marathon. And it goes, multiple people injured, at least a dozen injured after explosion. Man, I hope this isn't a false flag or a real terror attack, Richard.
Even if it's innocent, they will use it because everyone's focused on it now. And people can be controlled when they're all on the same emotion at the same time. You know, the government's been studying this since, you know, World War One.
Let's fade this up.
There's a whole CNN process underway right now. But the reality of the situation is it is almost impossible to protect an event, especially one that is over a protracted space as a marathon is. And, you know, I hate to say it, but these are the times that we live in.
Richard, that's what they're saying on CNN. So they're already basically saying it's a terror attack. Oh, my goodness.
No, we're helpless is what he's saying.
I know this. They got TSA ready to roll out nationwide. They're already doing it, but they've been, I've talked to insiders. They're going to be everywhere now, just federal checkpoints.
When he said, you know, unfortunately, these are the times we live in. So then when we see soldiers at our kids' Little League game, we see soldiers, you know, everywhere, we're supposed to feel safe.
But again, the explosion, the main one there at the Marathon Sports, and then you can hear after that, Paula, it's just absolutely heartbreaking to see this.
It's been a year since the bomb attack at the Boston Marathon. InfoWars was pointing out the inconsistencies in the story from the very beginning.
Was there any prior knowledge, Joe? Because according to BostonGlobe.com, they said they were doing drills this morning for the same exact thing that happened, according to BostonGlobe.com. Now, was you guys given any warning ahead of time of this taking place?
As I said earlier, there was no specific intelligence.
Oh, sir, why were loudspeakers telling people in the audience to be calm moments before the bomb went off? Is this another false flag stage attack to take our civil liberties and put more homeland security by sticking their hands down on the pants on the streets?
No.
And it wasn't just the Boston Globe who reported the drills.
There was dogs with their handlers going around sniffing for explosives, and we were told on a loud announcement that we shouldn't be concerned. This was just a drill. So maybe it was just a drill. But I've just never seen a drill like that.
The most show of force that a track coach has seen in a lifetime of marathons. This brings up questions of prior knowledge. And on the subject of prior knowledge, we found out that the CIA, FBI, and DHS knew of Tamerlan Tsarnaev before the bombing. Reports show that the older Tsarnaev had previously attended a workshop sponsored by the CIA. The word is also out that the FBI and Department of Homeland Security had been tipped to Tamerlan's visit to a radical mosque in Dagestan, a neighbor of Chechnya. The FBI felt that this was of little consequence and didn't consider him a threat. Also, the suspect's uncle Ruslan, who quickly distanced himself from his nephews, worked for USAID. As the article points out, the U.S. Agency for International Development is an agency used by the U.S. government to operate humanitarian NGOs instrumental in running color revolutions in former Soviet states. And he just so happened to be the relative of choice for state-run media. I understand that there must be several criminals and other people on U.S. data banks, especially with the DHS putting toddlers on the no-fly list. But if you have a suspect who the Russian government warned you about, attended CIA-backed workshops that the DHS was briefed on, and the FBI interviewed, why does the FBI need public assistance identifying the suspect? Not to mention how the feds reportedly called the Tsarnaev brothers after the bombing and before any other incidents.
Somebody out there knows these individuals as friends, neighbors, co-workers, or family members of the suspects. Though it may be difficult, the nation is counting on those with information to come forward and provide it to us.
Did you ask any of your co-workers their agents? Aside from Stonewall and InfoWars reporter Dan Badondi, Goon's gotten his face for dare asking real questions.
Are both suspects seen planting these devices at the finish line of the Boston Marathon?
No. The only one who was observed planting what we believe to be the device is suspect number two with a white cap.
Let's talk about those photos.
There was bomb drills Monday morning. We got photographs on InfoWars.com, folks, of contractors.
Next question, please.
Jahar's white or gray backpack with the black stripes is clearly not the black backpack with the white or gray stripes that exploded. In fact, the bags are the exact opposite.
The only official photos that should be officially relied upon in this investigation are those you see before you today.
So what's the possible explanation for these bizarro backpacks?
And you're carrying
you
a
backpack. You would have one here. This is a light.
Here's
color,
a
nylon
black. Like number two had.
Yeah.
And then it's easy enough for you to go ahead and take out the actual device that may house the weapon.
There's one theory. Doubt of the official story could easily have been squashed by releasing footage of the bomb being placed. Footage that even Governor Deval Patrick hasn't seen.
Well, the videotape is not something I've seen. It's been described to me. But it does seem to be pretty clear that this suspect took the backpack off, put it down.
And that brings up another piece of questionable footage. Who was the naked man? InfoWars reporter David Knight contacted Moret Tsarnaev, the aunt of the suspects, who identified the stripped man as her nephew Tamerlan.
Hello.
Hello, is this Moret Tsarnaev?
Yes, speaking.
Hi, my name is David Knight. I'm with InfoWars.com. It's Alex Jones's operation. Have you heard of us?
Yes, I've heard of you. Yes.
And we would very much like to do an interview with you. Would that be possible?
Since I have seen the material that you presented for the public before about, you know, these bombings, even before the names of our boys were put out there, I was following you, you know, from the very beginning.
Okay.
I don't know. I have trust in that information. I have trust in you, and I would like to have my word said.
Good. Good.
Especially in the part when the guy that was taken into custody by police, then given over to FBI. You know who I'm talking about. That clip.
Yes. Yes.
A naked guy.
Yes.
I have to publicly state that I confirm and identify this person as my nephew, Tamerlan Tsarnaev.
Moret's revelation has been widely ignored by the media. The outlets that did pick up the naked man's arrest quickly wrote him off as somebody who was not really a suspect in the first place. Before we go any further, let's talk about what the brothers allegedly did after the bombing, aside from reportedly talking to the FBI, as we mentioned earlier. The story goes that the two had a seemingly normal life. Jahar went back to school, but after being named suspects, the brothers went on the run and allegedly killed an MIT officer to get his gun, thus the story goes. To date, There is no DNA evidence or public photographic evidence that the brothers actually killed the officer in his patrol car. And just like with the placing of the bomb, the authorities want you to believe in footage that they refuse to show you. So where did this story come from? It's a theory that the brothers wanted a gun and targeted someone who would have one. But whoever killed Officer Collier didn't bother to take his weapon. Now let me be very clear, this is in no way to tarnish the image of the slain officer. All due respect to him and his family. I'm simply pointing out how hearsay surrounding his death is now considered gospel. But what about the carjacking victim? Didn't the brothers confess to him? Well, there are conflicting narratives concerning that too. Briefly, the carjacking victim known as Danny reported a movie-like escape from the Tsarnaev brothers. But before he got away, Danny says Tamerlan confessed to killing the MIT officer as well as a role in the bombing. Contrast that with an earlier interview where Danny says Tamerlan mentioned the bombing but said nothing of the MIT shooting. Draw your own conclusion there. Oh, and the 7-Eleven robbery that took place, that wasn't the Tsarnaev brothers.
When the government and the shadow government has been gearing up to roll out and be our savior, and they stand to gain from it, it's obvious. I mean,
whoever the suspect is, the government will appropriate it and create a narrative. And 90% of it probably, I'm just guessing, will be a fabrication to shape our thought of police and military and safety, and they're licking their chops.
They're now saying, were there right-wing or patriot meetings in the area? Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. And that's CNN doing that? Oh. Wolf Blitzer, we are in trouble. Oh, man. I bet they even dragged me into it with my 1776 line.
That was footage from the, quote, shootout between the Tsarnaev brothers and the police. This is one of the most contradictory moments following the bombing, with various witnesses contesting whether or not the suspects tossed bombs at the police, whether or not an officer was injured by friendly fire, and whether or not Jahar ran over Tamerlan. If the naked man is Tamerlan Tsarnaev, as his aunt claims, then the official story has much to explain as to how a bullet-wounded man was struck by a car and appears virtually uninjured. Regardless of what happened, after the confrontation with the police, Jahar is able to go and hide himself in a boat, and Tamerlan is taken into custody, according to his aunt. The police state rolled into Watertown with a vengeance, intimidating media, forcing people out of their homes at gunpoint.
Door-to-door armed searches without warrant. Police don't need warrants if property owners welcome them into their homes. Families thrown out of their homes at gunpoint to be searched without probable cause. No guns were pointed at any families.
Let's watch that clip again, covered by footage of what actually happened.
Door-to-door armed searches without warrant. Police don't need warrants if property owners welcome them into their homes. Families thrown out of their homes at gunpoint to be searched without probable cause. No guns were pointed at any families.
But as you saw with your own eyes, people were forced out of their homes and had guns pointed at them. In the end, it was a homeowner who called the police to report suspicious activity in his boat. Police responded, fired multiple rounds into the boat, and I'm sure were shocked when Jahar was able to climb out of the boat under his own power. He is bloodied, but doesn't yet seem to have the wound in his mouth that would be reported later. If he indeed shot himself through the mouth, I doubt he'd be this mobile, and it's a pretty safe bet that he'd be suffering much heavier blood loss. Jahar is currently in custody awaiting trial. His brother Tamerlan is now deceased. But even with one suspect dead and another in jail, the story didn't end there. An acquaintance of Tamerlan was killed during an FBI interrogation. The FBI's story changed multiple times as to how their agent felt his life was in danger. Whether it was Todashev's martial arts skills or a potential weapon in his hands, the FBI agent shot Todashev execution style, according to Todashev's father. InfoWars talked to Todashev's widow about the killing.
That night, I was actually in Atlanta, Georgia. I was about 7 hours away from there. I was at work when it happened. And this is not what exactly he said. He felt strange about it. This is not the first interview that was coming over, and they called him. They told him that's going to be his last interview. The agents from Boston, they come in to speak with him, and he said, "You guys, I'm just tired of coming to your office. If you want to speak with me, you can come to my house." And he said that if anything happens to me, just say don't be quiet. Just say what happened to me. If anything happens, he wasn't scared. If he would, he probably would not even speak with them in the first place. But since he even invited him to our home, that means he wasn't scared of them. And they have interviewed him. He would not respond his cell phone or anything. And they have his friend waiting him outside, but suddenly they let him go after 4 hours. And some of the agents were still with Ibrahim. And as right now, they've been pulling so many statements that he was armed and he was unarmed and that he was his body was a weapon since he's an MMA fighter. But he just had his knee surgery back in March. So he wasn't able to move pretty quick, pretty fast, or do anything. And after already all that happened, when we was able to enter the house, he had 7 shots. One was in the back of the head. And it has nothing to do with him start attacking them, as they said. They come in with the knife, with the blade, with the broom, with the swords. I think they came with the 5 different statements.
For those who don't know, it's important you say that. They've now admitted that he didn't have a weapon, didn't attack him.
So as the runners take to the streets once again, let us not forget all of the lies, half-truths, disinformation, and teleprompter reading that has hindered justice for all of the victims of April 15th, 2013. You can find more reports at Infowars.com.
Alex Jones may sound crazy, but still has 300 million YouTube, he has 300 million people that have watched him on YouTube, and that sort of fringe, arch-conservative, deeply, I think, racist strain is being tapped into at crazy profit by people in the media.
Well, it is, and I think that the point you just made is the key thing, at crazy profit. These folks are getting paid to be racist.
If they kill the president and hundreds of people that knew about it, would they kill some people at a marathon to get their agenda through? If they bomb Vietnam, South Vietnam, to blame it on the communists, again, who I'm no fan of either, they did stuff like that as well, would they do it in America? If they ran Operation Gladio in Europe to blame it on liberal and conservative groups that got too powerful that weren't globalist, would they do it here? Is this Operation Gladio Part 2?
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing 6 of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Secure your fluoride shield at InfoWarsLife.com today.